And welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to part two of this episode of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. I'm your host, as always, Tony DeFio. And if you are watching me live on YouTube or Facebook, thank you for sticking with me. I told you I'd be back. And if you downloaded part two, I thank you for that. And let's see who else we have in the live chat. Tom Ferry on from Facebook, The Cuda, Brian Brown, Stacy Lynn, if I didn't get you already, Christopher 11, Clarence Washington, Steelers Freak, Brittany Lemmy. So, and John is here from YouTube. So thank you everybody for joining in. And I got to get to this from Kathy Ford. And she says, if I can find it, I was scrolling through. I noticed it and it was, she says, I don't know, Tony. I think our season is over. As much as I love our Steelers, I have a feeling that we are done. I mean, I think it could go either way, really, because that's the kind of team that they are. They've been playing on the edge all year. It can go either way. When you don't play with consistency, game in and game out, when you don't have that kind of roster, then yeah, I mean, it could implode. We've seen them implode. Going back to 2018, they've imploded every year. So hopefully that doesn't happen this year. But they're going to have to make hay. And how do they make hay? Starting this Sunday against the Bengals. They have to win that game. You win that game, suddenly you're what? What are they now? 1-1 in the AFC North. 2-1 with three games left in the division. That would be a good start. And, you know, we know how much the Steelers have owned the Bengals over the years, but that hasn't applied lately. You know, the Bengals, they beat them up last year, about a year ago at this time, last December in Cincinnati, just beat them up, out-physical them. You know, we know the play by, was it Sean Bell, the safety, when he crushed Juju Smith-Schuster on a pass over the middle, causing him to fumble. You know, so and you saw what they did in week three here at Heinz Field. They beat up the Steelers pretty good. I mean, the Steelers were injured. T.J. Watt was out in that game. I believe Alex Highsmith was out. I think he was. But a lot of players were injured. And the defense wasn't that great. The offense was really bad. You know, so they need to reestablish that dominance over the Bengals, or at least let them know that they're still their big brother. You know, easier said than done. You know, Joe Burrow is a fantastic talent. Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon. They have a pretty decent defense. Not a great defense, but a pretty decent defense. So it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, the Bengals are every bit the contender that the Steelers are this year. Everybody in the AFC North is in a dogfight for the top spot. So, really, with seven games left, it's anybody's division. So that's pretty exciting. But I think the Steelers have to win this game, and if nothing else, just for their own sake, for their own psyches. I mean, you know, you lose this game, suddenly you're 5-5-1. You're essentially, you're on a three-game winless streak. It's a bad time of year to have that. So just for their own psyches, they need to win this game. But just for the simple math of it, they need to win this game. They can't fall further behind the Browns or the Ravens, and they can't fall into fourth place. Even though there would still be three games left in the division and six games left overall, having to leapfrog three different teams to get into first place, that's hard to do. So they have to win this game. So as I said in the first half of the show, having TJ Watt back is going to help. Having Fitzpatrick back is going to help. Having Ben coming off his best game this year is going to help. So, yeah, they just need to go to Cincinnati and find a way to pull out a win. So, I have one more topic, and I want to talk about Cam Hayward. And I touched on this on Monday on the Hangover with Brian and Shannon White, and I published an article about this on Friday, and that's the love affair everybody is having with Cam Hayward this year, and the recognition he's finally getting. I think people have always appreciated what he can do, but his overall greatness, his legacy, I think a lot of people, including myself, took that for granted because you've had so many star players come through here, even though the defense has struggled over the past decade. But even when the defense was struggling, you had obviously Big Ben playing better than ever, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, a great line. That part of the that side of the ball, they were all the superstars of the team and the reason why they were contenders. So Hayward's play may have been overlooked. And of course, the last 4 years with TJ Watt as, one of the premier defensive players in the NFL. I mean, that's, people maybe it's easy to overlook Hayward when Watt's doing his thing week in and week out. But this year, with the defense being so compromised by injury, to see him just dominating the line of scrimmage each and every week. And I mean, he has really nobody next to him making plays. Isaiah Bugs, just another player. Carlos Davis has just started to get healthy. Henry Mondo is a nice story, but he's just a backup. Isaiah Loudermilk is showing promise, but promise doesn't necessarily mean greatness, and he really hasn't made that signature play, that coming out play, I should say, for a rookie. So he really has had no star power next to him on the line, and he's still dealing with double teams all the time, and he's still dominating and just playing like one of the top two or three defensive linemen in the NFL. Even at the age of 32, you talk about Aaron Donald, and Hayward's name isn't far behind. You're talking about the top players at that position. So kudos to Cam Hayward. People are going to argue that he doesn't deserve the Hall of Fame talk that he's starting to receive the last couple of years. But sometimes that honor goes beyond stats. You can just look at a player and see that player is a Hall of Famer. So I don't know if he'll ever get in, but the fact that he's now in the discussion and he still has who knows how many more years to play, I think that says a lot about him. And, the fact that Brian and Shannon and me, we were, putting Hayward in different eras on Monday on the Hangover. Would he be able to start for the Steel Curtain of the 70s? Would he be able to start in the 80s? Would he be able to start for Cowher's teams in the 90s or Dick LeBeau's defenses of the mid to late 00s? The fact that he's even in that discussion, I think that shows you how respected he is now. So I just think he's an amazing player, and whether you think he's a Hall of Famer or not, he's certainly an all-time Steeler great. I think this year has solidified that. So those are my topics for tonight, and I will finish out tonight's show with some questions and comments from you guys. Let's see what we have here. This is from Christopher 11, and he says, let's withhold judgment till we get our guys back. Our D is as good as any team when full strength. maybe offense can take next step after a loss to the Chargers. Well, I'll definitely, you know, as far as the defense, I will agree that when healthy, it's one of the best defenses in the NFL. So that's why these guys have to get as healthy as possible. And that's why it would be nice to see Devin Bush step up his game and start playing like a top 10 overall draft pick. So hopefully that happens soon. And Steelers Freak says, when they play four quarters of good football, I will celebrate like a Super Bowl win. Well, I don't think many teams do that nowadays. It's hard to put four great quarters together. And this is one from Daniel, and he's citing our very own Dave Schofield, one of our editors, and he says that Dave Schofield said that the Steelers are 0-7 without Joe Hayden in the lineup. I didn't know that. That's kind of alarming. So hopefully he plays this week. Sean Manahan says, if the Steelers had Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick, they probably beat the Chargers. Yeah, it's hard to argue that when you're talking about a game that came down to the last few minutes, one score a game. It's hard to imagine the Chargers scoring 41 points with both Watt and Fitzpatrick in the lineup. I mean, those are two of the top players at their positions in the NFL. So, yeah, I agree. Another one from Sean Manahan. He says, our defensive depth is just flat out atrocious. I think you can say that for a lot of teams on both sides of the ball, really. When you're talking about 2021, salary cap era, so many players move around in free agency. It's hard to have the kind of depth that we remember back in Bill Cowher's heyday when you know, I talked about this before, when, you know, they would never even bother signing any of their veteran players when they were at the end of their contracts. They would just let them walk because they had these great backups lying in wait. You know, back then, you know, players could wait around 3 or 4 or 5 years and then start. Jason Gillen's a great example of that. I think he was with them for 3 years before he cracked the lineup, maybe 4 years. Lee Flowers, he wasn't a great player, but, you know, he was just a special teams guy for a number of years, for 2 or 3, 4 years. And he became their starting strong safety in the late 90s through the early 00s. So it's hard to have that kind of depth nowadays. And mainly because I think the quarterback salaries are just so high that they eat up so much of the cap that it's hard to have that kind of depth. And I think, you know, especially these rookie players, they're looking to cash in on their second contract. So it's hard to keep them content as backups. When it's their time to move on after their fourth year or fifth year, you know, they're looking to cash in and they're looking to start somewhere else. If they're not guaranteed that here, they're moving on to someplace else. Sean Manahan says somebody needs to step up on a defensive line to help Cam out. Yeah, but that's I don't know. Stephon Tuitt, it's a special talent for a reason. Same with Alualu. It's hard to ask guys like Bugs and Davis and players of that ilk to play to that level because those guys are special talents. Daniel talking about Tyler Boyd. He says, Pittsburgh's own Tyler Boyd, by the way. He went to the University of Pittsburgh. That's a Bengals receiver. And he said, Boyd was talking so much trash after the loss to the Bengals, saying that the Steelers quit. I mean, it really wasn't trash talk. He was kind of talking in a matter-of-fact kind of way. But, you know, that game was one of the most listless Steeler games I've ever seen, at least in recent memory. So maybe Boyne had a point there. But that's probably something that Mike Tomlin is not letting his players forget this week. You know, this guy said that you quit last time and you didn't give 100%. Are you gonna stand back and take that, or are you gonna do something about it? You know, people talk about how Juju's logo dancing last year, his TikTok dancing on other teams' logos, was a motivating factor. Well, if an opponent saying you quit, a divisional rival saying you quit the last time you played them, if that's not a motivating tool, I don't know what is. So let's hope they can use that for fuel this week. Brian Brown says the Steelers have to win every game. I wouldn't say every game, but the margin for error is slipping. It's becoming smaller each and every week. I mean, you saw on Thursday, the Bills won. The Bills are right there with, you know, in the playoff race. They're 7-4. Pittsburgh beat them in week one. So there's the head-to-head. Well, I guess that doesn't even matter anymore with the tie. But the Bills won. The Raiders won. They came back and beat the Cowboys on a last-second field goal. So those are two teams that might be battling Pittsburgh for that last wild card spot, or one of the last wild card spots. I mean, we talk about the Bills being one of the premier teams in the NFL, but the Patriots won't stop losing, or I'm sorry, they won't stop winning. You know, they look like, you know, they look like they have the best defense in the NFL right now, and Mac Jones is playing pretty darn good for a rookie quarterback. So, you know, the Bills might not even win the AFC East this year. It might be the Patriots yet again. So, you know, the Bills and the Raiders are two teams that you might have to battle for a wild card spot if you can't come back and win or reclaim the division title, the AFC North. So, yeah, they have to keep pace, and they have, you know, they don't have to win every game, I don't think, but they certainly can't lose too many more. And Steelers Freak says of Matt Canada, if Canada has anything in reserve on the books this weekend, is the time to pull it out. The interesting thing about that, excuse me, is that you heard a lot of talk in, you know, when Roethlisberger was talking to the reporters last week about how, you know, he was calling a lot of plays at the end again and calling a lot of the blocking, you know, the protection for his linemen. So, you know, is this another example of Roethlisberger taking over the offense at the end? And if that's the case, then, you know, maybe Canada doesn't have anything left to show, at least not this year. We'll see. Mark DeGoretis says, I think Spillane should start over Bush. I mean, you might be able to make a case that he should start over either one of those guys. And not because he's such a great player, but because Schobert and Bush really aren't. You know, you have to throw Joe Schobert into the mix too. He really hasn't lived up to what they expected of him as a pass coverage linebacker when they traded for him last year or last August. So, you know, I think Spillane's a better athlete than people give him credit for. You know, he's an undrafted free agent, so people naturally think he's just a blue collar type player, but I think he's a decent enough athlete. So, you know, I think he has the capabilities of he's certainly probably the best run stuffer of the three of them. And he's probably better in pass coverage than people give him credit for. And at this point, how much worse can you be than what Devin Bush has shown us through 10 games? So I don't think he's going to start over Bush, but, you know, Tomlin hasn't been exactly, I don't know if he's been publicly displeased with Bush, but he can't be very pleased with his play privately. I know that because the team invested so much in him when they drafted him 2 years ago. So, you know, it would be nice if Devin Bush, if something clicked for him, Lawrence Timmons, remember Lawrence Timmons, first round pick of 2007. People waited years for him to finally put it all together. And he really didn't start putting, he showed a lot of promise over his first 4 or 5 years, but he didn't really become that Pro Bowl caliber player that you expected him to be when Pittsburgh drafted him. Was it 15th overall in 2007? But in 2012, something just clicked. And the last, 5 years here, he was a machine. He was a fantastic inside linebacker for them. So maybe the same will be we'll be able to say the same thing about Devin Bush in the not so distant future. Hopefully as quickly as this Sunday. Somebody asked me, I lost it. There's so many questions, which is great, by the way. Somebody asked me what my thoughts are on the Sunday against the Bengals. I think they're going to pull out a win. I'm looking for like 20-13 kind of a win. Not a pretty sight for the offense. Just an okay performance, but the defense is going to be fantastic again with Watt and Fitzpatrick back. Steelers Chick 46 says of Cam Hayward, he's like fine wine. He gets better with age. You can say that. I mean, he's been playing his best football the last 3 or 4 years, really. All right. Clarence Washington says Cam Hayward should be getting more national attention. Yeah, I think he is. But you know, guys like Booger McFarland and Chris Collinsworth have really spoken highly of him at different points the last couple of years. So, you know, that's pretty cool. All right. There's another one from Steelers Freak, and he says about Isaiah Loudermilk. When in, the opponents average 2.8 yards per rush. Loudermilk needs more snaps. Who cares if he is a rookie? The inside linebackers need D-line help in order to avoid being caught up in the wash. And I talked about that last week. Part of the problem with the inside linebackers is they're just not staying clean because of the defensive line. And, you know, if Loudermilk is showing promise, you know, like, I agree, he should be in there. I mean, you know, Bugs hasn't, you know, been anything. Davis has barely played. Mondo's, if his name wasn't Henry Mondo, I don't know if people would be as excited about him. He's like one of those blue collar, lunch pail, blah, blah, blah kind of players. So, yeah, there's definitely room there. There's definitely a talent vacuum on the defensive line for somebody to fill. So, you know, if Loudermilk is showing the most promise, then maybe he should be in there more often. Clarence Washington says for the defense to be at its best, they need more production from the inside linebackers. They certainly do. They certainly do. I keep going back to this unnamed NFL executive who said, if you're slow at inside linebacker, if you're unspectacular at inside linebacker, then that affects the rest of your defense. And I think we've seen that on many occasions with the struggles of Bush and Schobert, namely Bush, because he the higher pedigreed player, they expect more of him. And that's true. And that's why they struggled so much when Shazier went down, when he was lost with that tragic injury, and why they struggled for so many years on defense without him. A couple of years for sure. They had a lot of trouble. So you need Bush, and namely Bush, to step up at some point. You know, if you're heading into year four and he still hasn't shown anything, you're talking about a year and a half removed from, a year and a half removed from that knee injury, then I think it speaks more about his abilities than it does about the injury. So hopefully at some point it's going to click for Devin Bush. Ryan O'Toole asked, Tony, how was your Thanksgiving? It was pretty good. Nice and quiet. Usual. You know, I watched some football, did some writing, went out, did some running, went for a nice long walk, went over to my mom's, didn't stuff myself too much, which was nice. Usually I go overboard in that regard, but I didn't do that this year. Of course, I knew I had to be up bright and early on Friday morning for my shadow day at my new job, so, and that was pretty taxing physically. So, you know, while everybody else is gaining weight this holiday season, I get the feeling I'm going to be losing weight, which is nice. So thank you for that, Ryan. I hope your Thanksgiving was great and pleasant and fulfilling and all those awesome things. And on that note, I think I am going to call it a night. I have the tickle in my throat and I'm going to keep coughing. So I might as well just end it here at the 4732 mark. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I hope you enjoy the Steelers game on Sunday at 1 o'clock. I hope the Steelers give us something awesome to talk about. Starting on Monday on the Hangover with Brian and Shannon and yours truly. And that's the next time I will talk to you. So until then, once again, have a great weekend and go Steelers.
Oh, how it rips me, but love makes me live for tomorrow.